Well, today we're going to talk about one of the most powerful parts of the human body, right? Now, if you were to look up at me and wonder, you know, what's he talking about? What's he referring to? You might just kind of go to my massive biceps, right? I mean, most people do. Don't want to show off or anything. Just kidding. They're not very massive, actually. They might have been a little stronger when I was in the Marine Corps, but not as much today. Maybe you look, though, and you're like, oh, it must be that massive brain, right, that processes somewhere around 70,000 thoughts a day. Did you know that? The brain, the average brain processes 70,000 thoughts a day. Or maybe you look, and it's like, it must be his heart, man. What an amazing heart he has, right, that pumps around. Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. But pumps around, did you know your heart pumps around 2,000 gallons of blood each day? Powerful. These are powerful parts of our body, but we're not going to talk about biceps, brains, or hearts today. Instead, we're going to talk about the tongue, right? This little part of our body right here. Did you know that the human tongue accounts for less than 1% of our body mass? But it packs a more powerful punch than anything else, and that's because we use our tongues to speak, right? Our words can have an enormous impact, both good and bad. It talks about this in the book of James. As a matter of fact, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to James chapter 3. That's where we're going to read this morning. As we're going to continue our series through the Bible titled, The Bible, A True Story. If you've been with us, you know that for quite some time we've been on this journey, taking us through the Bible from Genesis through Revelation, as we're really seeking to discover who God is and who He desires us to be. And believe it or not, we're actually getting pretty close to the book of Revelation as we find ourselves now in the book of James. We actually jumped into the book of James last week, if you were here, after kind of finishing up our series within a series on faith that was based out of Hebrews chapter 11. And as we started last week, I kind of gave a little background on the book of James. And so let me just kind of give you a little refresher for those maybe who missed last week. I first shared something new that I learned myself, which was the fact that James is actually Jacob, okay? The name James is actually the English translation of the name. But in Greek and Hebrew, his name is actually translated as Jacob, which I found pretty interesting, right? It's a reminder to us that our English language doesn't always translate well, which is why we have to be careful as we read through the scriptures, because sometimes the English language translates in a way that we go, oh, well, we think it means this, when in reality, it doesn't mean what we thought it meant. And so we have to make sure that we're looking at the context of scripture, because sometimes the words used can have a different overall meaning than actually our English language would with those words today. And this is just a little food for thought this morning. As we read the Word, as we study the Word on our own, we need to realize that we need to always look at context. We need to always seek the Lord through these things. I also talked about which James actually wrote this book. Many people, if you just read through the Scriptures and you don't really dive in a little deeper, might think that this book was written by the disciple named James, right? The James that was the brother of John, the sons of thunder. But that's not who wrote this book. That this book was actually written by James, who was the brother of Jesus, right? And the interesting thing is that James didn't actually, Jesus' brother James, didn't actually believe that Jesus was the Son of God. That is, until after Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to his brother James. But once he realized who his brother was. He became a prominent leader in the Christian church. As a matter of fact, when Peter left Jerusalem to start new churches, James was the one that stepped up to lead the first church there in Jerusalem. And he really became a pillar in the church. He became a pillar of peace and wisdom. He lived faithfully for the Lord until he was killed for his faith. And so today we're going to learn from his wisdom as we read here in James chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read James 3, verses 1 through 18. This is what it says. "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." Yay for me, right? Verse 2, "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." I don't know that that's any of us out here, right? Verse 3, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or make ships, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brother and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." And that's the end of chapter 3 and where we're going to stop this morning. Now there's a lot that James packs into this one chapter here. But one of his main focuses in these verses is what I talked about earlier, the tongue, right? And so this morning, that's what I want to focus on. And I want to focus on three things that I think we need to understand about the tongue. And so the first one is this. Number one, we need to understand the power of the tongue. In verses 3 through 5, James uses some examples to show us how powerful something so small can be, right? Our small little tongues, how powerful it can be. He uses the first example of how a tiny bit in a horse's mouth can actually enable us to control these massive creatures, right? Horses average to be 800 to 1,000 pounds, and how this little bit can actually control these massive creatures. It's really pretty amazing how just that tiny bit can control these great big beasts, right? Next, he uses the example of a small rudder that steers a ship that can actually be up to 1,000 times the size of that rudder. This small little rudder can control something that's 1,000 times bigger than itself. And he points out the fact that it can even control the ship when the winds are strong and trying to push it in different directions. And then he finishes his example up with the idea of how a small spark can cause a great forest to burn, right? Can set a forest ablaze. And I think this is something, right, that we have been seeing more and more of lately in our world, especially here on the West Coast, where a small spark hasn't just destroyed forests, but has actually destroyed entire cities, right? My aunt and uncle lived in Paradise, California, right? And my cousin and his wife and kids, they all lived in Paradise, where in 2018, pretty much the entire city was leveled by a fire. I read that it was a town of 26,000 people in 2018. And a year later, after they had started to rebuild and started to kind of come back and houses were starting to kind of get back into place, after that, the town in late 2019, was about 4,500 people. Huge, devastating, right? It's known as the deadliest and most destructive fire ever in the state of California. And it started from the spark of a campfire, right? A small spark can cause this massive blaze. And this is the kind of power that James is talking about right here. And he wants us to understand that the tongue is a powerful thing that can have huge impacts on those around us. As I mentioned earlier, the tongue makes up less than 1% of our body mass. And yet it has the potential to change lives, right? Now, earlier I was joking about, you know, my massive biceps, right? Some of you laughed. Some of you were like, those are pretty big, Darren, right? Oh, wait, none of you said that. Darn it. None of you said that. But earlier I was joking, and here's the thing. The truth is, I could probably do a little damage with my arms, with my fists, right? Hitting someone, giving someone a shot, and would maybe blacken an eye, right, for several days. But hurtful words can actually damage someone for years, maybe even a lifetime, right? That old saying, that stupid saying we used to say when we were kids, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. It's not true, is it? It's not true. Names, words are powerful things. They can cause more damage than what we realize or what we even want to admit at times to others. You see, Satan, he likes to use our words to destroy relationships. He loves to use our words to cause division in churches, right? Or to even push people away from God. It's something that the enemy has been doing since the fall of man. And I think we're seeing more and more of this in our world today, right? Where those of us who refer to ourselves as Christians, and I'm not saying we're not, but we're a Christian, but we use our tongues to tear others down and spew venom instead of love, right? God wants us to love one another, but we spew this venom at one another. And so we have to ask ourselves a question today as we walk through this. How are we using our tongue? Do we understand the power that our tongue holds, the words that we say, how they can affect others? Because I think it's important that we understand the power of the tongue, because the power of the tongue, it can cause great good, but it can also cause great damage, which really leads me to my second point this morning, which is this. Not only do we need to understand the power of the tongue, we need to understand the hypocrisy of the tongue, right? In verse 9 and 10, James tells us this about the tongue. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's image. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing, right? There's a hypocrisy here. You see, as we look at the power that our tongues have, we have to realize that power can be used for good, but it can also be used for bad. Like James says, one moment we can be driving down the road, right, praising God to our radio, lifting up His name, singing songs along with K-Love or K-Happy or whoever you listen to. And then the next moment someone cuts us off and we begin cussing them out, right? I think it's important that we realize that the hypocrisy that can come out of our mouths. Because I think a lot of times we're unaware of the damage our words can do. And if we aren't aware of this reality, then who knows what kind of fires our tongues might spark in other people's lives. You see, as believers, we're called to live life differently. God's desire is for us to be aware of the words that come from our mouth. Listen to what James says in verses 10 through 12 about this hypocrisy of the tongue. He says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. What is James saying here? He's saying this, I think, that as followers of Jesus, we need to be striving to have our lives and words line up with who we say we are, right? It's like what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. He's saying there's some hypocrisy here, right? Something isn't lining up. We speak these things here and then our life goes this way, or we say we're this and then we tear people down. There's something that's not lining up. What we say and how we live should line up. If we say we love Jesus and we seek to follow Him, then we should be striving, right, to show His love to others. Now, does this mean that we're going to be perfect and we need to be perfect? No, right? We're human. We're going to make mistakes. But if we truly love Jesus and if we desire to follow Him, then it means that we need to be doing our best to live the life that He is calling us to live. It means that we actually need to be aware of the hypocrisy of our tongues, right? And we need to seek to control the words that come out of our mouth, which actually then leads me to the final thing that I think we need to understand about the tongue, which is this. We need to understand the importance of taming the tongue. Now, it's interesting here, because if you go back and you read verses 7 and 8, listen to what James says. He says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So what is James saying here? Is he saying that the taming of the tongue is impossible? I don't believe so. I don't think that that's what James is saying. What he's saying is that the taming of the tongue cannot be done by us, right? In other words, we can't do it in our own strength. In verse 12, it says, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? We know that doesn't happen, right? You plant a fig tree and what grows on it? Figs, right? The answer to that is no. The only way to change the fruit of a tree is to change the tree, to change the nature of the tree itself. And the same is true about us. The only way to change the words that come out of our mouth is to change the nature of our heart. The nature of our heart. Jesus talks about this very idea back in Luke chapter 6. Listen to what it says. I have it to go up on the screen here, I think. It's Luke 6, verses 44 through 45. It says, "Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man or woman, person, brings good things out of the good stored up in their heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Now, we were born into sin, and our hearts are naturally sinful, right? And the only way our hearts can be changed is through the power of Jesus Christ. When we allow Jesus to come into our life and begin to transform us from the inside out, that's when we begin to see the kind of fruit that only comes from the Lord. It only comes from the Spirit. If you were here when we were in our study, and back when we were going through the book of Galatians, you may remember that we took some time, another series within a series, to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, it tells us, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control," right? This is the fruit of the Spirit. And it's the fruit that God wants to produce in our lives. And when we're seeking the Lord and allowing His Spirit to guide and direct us, when that small little voice says, "Don't say it, Darren," right? Because something happens and we're like, we want to speak with the tongue in negative ways. When the Spirit says, "Don't do it," that's the fruit of the Spirit speaking to us. It's that patience, it's that kindness, it's that goodness, right? It's the fruit of the Spirit that God wants in our lives. And when we're seeking the Lord and allowing His Spirit to guide us, it's then that we begin to see our hearts change, that our hearts become full of the Spirit. It's then that we begin to see the good that Jesus was talking about in Luke 5 that's being stored in our hearts. And that's where our conversation, that's where our words come from. We speak from the goodness of God and the goodness of the Spirit that's in us. And so the only way for us to truly tame the tongue, right, is by seeking to fill our lives with more and more of Jesus. It's through the power of His Spirit. That the tongue is a powerful tool, right, that can be used for good or for bad. But as followers of Jesus, God's desire is that we would be people who use that tiny little part of our bodies to bring glory to God, to lift and encourage one another up. As I was studying this section of Scripture and looking for illustrations on the power of the tongue, right, the power of our words, I came across a story about a boy named Johnny. Johnny had Down syndrome. And he worked at a grocery store as a bagger. He had gotten a new job. And his first week, he went to a training where they talked about the power of our words and how what you say really does make a difference to the customers that you help each day. Well, Johnny took those words to heart. He went home and he talked to his dad about how he could make a difference. And together, him and his dad came up with an idea. The two of them sat down at the computer and found positive and affirming statements or phrases that they could print and type out onto little slips of paper. He started with over 300 of these quotes, and he would personally sign each one. He then left the stack of quotes at the check stand and would put one in the bag of each customer that came through his line. And as he handed them their bags, he would look them in the eye and tell them that he left them a special note in their bag to brighten their day. It was something that he began to do every day. Every day there was a new encouragement for that day. And after a month, the manager of the store said that there would be empty check stands. But people would prefer to wait in line to have their groceries bagged by Johnny. He said that the line would sometimes go all the way back to the frozen food aisle. And when he tried to tell customers that there were other check stands that were open that could help them, they would simply say, "It's okay, we'll wait. We look forward to Johnny's encouraging word of the day." There was even one lady who told the manager that she used to come to the store just once a week, sometimes every other week, but that now she comes almost every day to buy something so that she can get Johnny's encouraging words. And the manager said that Johnny has actually changed the entire culture of their store, as it even inspired their floral department. Before, in the floral department, if the stem of a flower broke, they would just toss the flower into the garbage. But now, if a stem of their flower breaks, they go out and take the top part of the flower and pin that flower on little girls or on elderly women with the hopes to brighten their day. Johnny's story actually inspired a book, The Simple Truths of Service, inspired by Johnny the Bagger. It says that on the title. And the truth is, we can choose to be Johnny's, right? And we can be people who realize the power that our words can have on others, how it can lift them up and encourage them. And whether these words are spoken or written like Johnny, we can use them to be a positive influence in our world. That's what I believe James is trying to speak to us here in chapter 3. I think he wants us to understand the power of the tongue, right? It can do amazing things. But in that, he wants us to understand the hypocrisy of the tongue, the reality that we can do good, but we can also do bad. And so the importance of taming the tongue so that positive things come out of our mouth, so that we can be a positive influence for the Lord instead of a negative one. Because we want to be people who draw others to Jesus instead of pushing them away. Amen? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for James, his amazing wisdom and understanding of who you call us to be, Lord. His amazing understanding of the tongue and the power that it holds. And I think sometimes we forget the power of our words, Lord. Even sometimes we may joke in a way that seems like joking to us, but that can be hurting and damaging to others. Or sometimes we think that, well, we can be stating what's right, what we should say as a believer, but in reality push people away from you. And so, Lord, there's this challenge with our tongue of how to tame it and how to know when to speak, when not to speak, and really what to speak, how to speak, Lord. And so we want to be people who learn to control our tongues, Lord. We want to be people who understand the power of it. We want to understand the fact that it can be good or bad. But our heart and desire is to speak positive things that love and encourage people, that point people to you, that draw people to you instead of pushing people away. And so, Lord, again, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, Lord, how you graciously speak your word to us. Because, Lord, we're human. We're going to make mistakes. And as James says, we can be praising you one minute and cursing someone that's made in your image the next. And we don't want to do that, Lord. We want to learn how to overcome the negativity and the sinful aspects of our tongues, Lord. We want to learn to walk in the goodness of your Spirit and to speak that which is true. And to learn how to hold our tongues at times when those thoughts come out, Lord. It's not a sin to have thoughts in our head, but when we speak those, that's when we cross that line of what is a sin and what isn't. And so we want to speak good, Lord. We want to speak honest and love and grace to those around us, Lord. We want to be people who actually stop and think before we speak, Lord. And so help us to do that, Lord. We know that we can only do it, as James says, through the power of your Spirit. We can't do it on our own. Our tongues will naturally go in direction directions and say things that we know we shouldn't say. And so we want to hear your voice. We want to hear you, Lord. We want to allow your Spirit to fill our lives and our heart with love and grace and allow those things to be what comes out of our mouths, Lord. So again, we thank you for these words. We just pray that you allow these to meet each of us where we're at, Lord. That's what I love so much about you. We're all on this journey of what it looks like to follow you. We're all at different places along the way. We all have different lessons to learn, and you somehow are able to just meet us right where we're at. And so we pray that you just meet us where we're at this morning and allow us to hear what you want us to receive out of this word. We give it to you. We praise you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.